Would you please join me in prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amos of Tekoa, what do we know about him? He was a dresser of sycamore trees. I have no idea to what is involved in dressing sycamore trees, but we at least have his job description. We also know where he was from. Tekoa was a town outside of Jerusalem in the kingdom of Judah. And this is not recorded in the scriptures, but Amos was a busybody. He was a kind of person who liked to come to you from another town and tell you what you're doing wrong, because he spent a lot of his life doing his ministry in the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom, the part that split off from Judea. Now, both kingdoms claimed that the God of Israel was their God, and Amos had some words to share with them. Now, this could be one of those Sundays where I just mail it in and read you part of my thesis, which I have here, but I'm not going to do that. But I have a soft spot for Amos and the other 8th century BC prophets. These were the first prophets whose words were recorded. Clearly, somebody recognized that what they were saying was important for people to know. And Amos really was harsh. He wasn't just preaching at Israel. He was also preaching to the world. Not because he wanted to get the world to listen to him, but because he wanted Israel to understand that it was just one of the nations of the world. That the children of Israel were no different from everybody else. That they were held to the same kinds of standards that God had for everyone, for all of us. Now, we may feel good about being here this morning, and I feel a little bit bad having to preach this just after welcoming Robert and Jim into our ranks as members, but sure, we've got a lovely meeting house, we've got great music, wonderful acoustics, and God doesn't give a damn. God does not care about our beautiful space. If we are not going out and doing what Jesus has called us to do, if we are not actively pursuing justice, God does not care. Showing up for church every Sunday morning, getting your ticket punched, is not making an impression on God. You can't come to church on Sunday and then go and swindle your neighbors Monday through Saturday. What is justice? Now, this is a really big question. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have an answer for you. There's a lot of debate about what justice is. Some of you will think justice is what should be delivered to us by the law. And then we can look at instances where that has not been the case. Others of you might say, no, justice is social justice. And then we can debate about what that should be. But God wants us to actively pursue justice. He wants us to treat one another well. Now, that should sound easy. That should sound like a no-brainer. And yet, we have a presidential candidate who was in Claremont yesterday who is out raging against immigrants. And he's going to sweep up all of the illegal immigrants and put them into camps and deport them. I'm sorry, that's not the country I live in. That is not the country God wants us to live in. That's not saying that we have to have open borders and everybody is welcome here. But we do not round up people and put them into internment camps. Where is the love of God there? Where is the love of neighbor? And yeah, I'm getting a little bit worked up. And with matters of justice, we should. So you may have a cause that you want to go stand out on the street with and hold a sign. More power to you. People may not agree with you. But so what? It's the fact that your view may not be upheld by the majority of people in your community a reason to abandon it. No. If you truly have conviction, then you should be able to try to persuade your neighbors. And maybe some of them will agree with you. Maybe some of them will want to hear what you have to say. Now, there are some people who never want to hear the other side of the story. And those people live on both sides of every question. We can all be closed-minded. But that is not building a just society. Building a just society is helping out with programs like the holiday baskets that we're running with Listen. Helping out is working at Sacred Heart on Thanksgiving and serving meals to the needy in our community.
About it.
Now,
I'm going to quit again.
I'm going to go on a limb here and presume that everybody here has plans for Thanksgiving, either at their own home or they're going to someone else's. And most likely, you're able to take it for granted that you can have a Thanksgiving meal. That's not true. And I spoke with one of the people who does not have a Thanksgiving meal earlier this week. And she wanted to know if our church provided turkeys. I had to tell her no. We don't. I felt bad in that moment. Now, I'm not going to say that we need to start a turkey ministry. But we do need to help our neighbors. We do need to give of ourselves to help others. And this is where I'm going to segue into a preview of Stewardship Sunday, which is coming up next week. And I hope you'll all be here. And when you receive your mailing this week, I hope you will prayerfully consider your pledge for the coming year. And that you will then bring your pledge with you next Sunday and put it in the plate. It's not that hard. It's not that difficult. I spent an entire year, actually spent 2 years, with the 8th century BC prophets, because I wrote 2 papers about them. One was my thesis, and then one was my graduation project from Divinity School. And what they had to say was really relevant to a world 2,000 years ago, which was unlike the world we live in today, but in many ways was frighteningly similar. People of Israel and Judah were still dealing with foreigners they didn't like, with enemies. And they had to deal with the fact that there were some people in their society who were doing really well, and there were others who were not. And the ones who were not, in many cases, were not doing well because the ones who were doing well had rigged the system in their favor. And then they thought they could go to the temple and offer sacrifices and everything would be okay with them and God. And Amos said, no. You can't steal from your neighbor. You can't abuse the poor. You need to take care of the homeless. You need to remember the prisoner. Now, we may say that the homeless and the needy and the prisoner are not like us. How are they different? Have you never done anything bad in your life? If so, I would love to learn from you. We are all the same. And we are all good and we are all bad. And yes, some of us are worse than others. I will not deny that. The truth is, some of us really stink. And I'd rather use another word, but I'm not comfortable saying that from the pulpit. But even if we are rotters, we are children of God. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't convict malefactors and send them to prison. But how do we take care of them? Do we ever remember them? I've complained before about the liturgical industrial complex, but one of the things I get from the liturgical industrial complex are somewhat steady solicitations inviting me to support prison ministry, to make a gift, to fund Bibles that can go to inmates. I can't speak about what it's like to be behind bars, but I would think receiving a Bible would at least tell me that somebody on the outside was thinking about me. And that kind of affirmation and care can make all the difference in the world. The little things we do are not little to the people for whom we do them. So yes, we hang a banner out in front of the church saying that we welcome all people. Once we welcome people into the doors, how do we treat them? Do we continue to welcome them? Do we continue to have confidence in them? Do we share confidences with them? Don't have the answer for you, but I can tell you what it should be. I went to the Veterans Day ceremony yesterday, and a nice crowd turned out. And I noticed that the American Legion is dealing with a similar problem to our church. And that is that veterans are getting old. Now, on one hand, that's a good thing to see. I would love to see the day when there are no needs for armies. It's not going to happen. But I would like to see it. And we have something that the Legion doesn't. Yes, we may want younger people in the church, but we have a message of hope that we can share with them. We're not turning to folks because they served in the military and saying, okay, we're now going to have an organization for you. Well, in some ways it is the same. We're not serving in the military, but we are all trying to make our way through life. And for some of us, it's easier than it is for others. And for some of us, it's difficult. And we can be dealing with relationship issues. We could be dealing with financial problems. We could be burdened by everything that's going wrong in the world. So we need the church. We need the church. And those of us who are here are fortunate enough to have recognized that. And I give thanks that this church is able to provide something that is feeding you in some way. So yes, I can see the empty spaces in the sanctuary. And I'd love to see all the pews full. Now, of course, it's easy for me to say that because I get to sit up here in my nice, comfortable chair. I don't have to be squeezed into the pews. But being squeezed in would not be a bad thing, would it? So what does that have to do with justice? Work for it, strive for it, and that is a way of worshiping God. It's not your way of saying, I'm part of a do-good organization. I'm not asking you to hug a tree. I'm asking you to show that you love God by serving God. And you serve God by serving God's people. It's that easy. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of this church. We thank you for the people who are here. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, who has shown us the way forward. In his name we pray, amen.